For many years, the symbol of Christianity has been the eagle, flying high, seeing things, riding on the currents. And that's still, oh, all the kids are staying in here. I forgot to notice, say that, God Squad, so even the God Squad kids. And so even that is still a valid metaphor as being an eagle. But I think the metaphor for today is more like what Gary was doing, is the owl. See, the owl is an occultic symbol. Why? Because they see the prophetic in it and arrested it and took it as their cells. But the owl is God's creation.
Yes.
And I think that is more what God's doing today is the owl. Well, Craig, that doesn't even make sense. The owl is up at night.
Yes.
And he can see into the darkness.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
And he preys on rats and rodents.
Yeah.
And things that scurry around in the dark. And that's how we are. The Lord has given us vision in the darkness to see in the darkness. And those things that torment people, whether it's wheelchairs, deliverance, addiction, we got big claws and we're going to pull it out of them and pull it there. So I think prophetically we're in the season of the owl. I didn't even say that right. Right. O-W-L. Amen. Tommy and Elaine are not here today. Who knows what they're doing? Because today is their 49th anniversary.
Wow.
They may be partying in Barbados or something today, I don't know. But it's been 49 years. That's an accomplishment. Amen. Are you on the first slide of the PowerPoint, Mike? All right. I actually make them black so I can't tell if I'm there or not. Today we're going to have fun. We are going to talk about who am I, because I am tired and sick. I'm supposed to be sick and tired, but I don't want to do anything normal. I'm tired and sick of the world. Would you be quiet up here? I'm going to move you to the back room. This is how it was in the Dominican Republic. When I preached, I had to say, will you please leave? It's all good. I open myself up for it, though, don't I? But I am tired and sick of the war. Listen, this is how it is. Right now, there is a battle over the destiny of this nation. The nation is made of people. There is a battle over people, and the enemy has basically won. We were brought up with a Judeo-Christian worldview. What's a worldview? The filter or grid that we see things and interpret things around us. We all have it.
Yes.
Whatever it is. If you're in the South, you got a slightly different grid or worldview than if you were raised in Manhattan, New York City, or New Delhi, India, or whatever. So you grow up with this grid. But in America, for about 200 years, there was this grid of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And the last 100 years, there's been an assault to replace it with something that's not Judeo-Christian, and by and large, it has won and succeeded. There are many problems with that worldview, and we're going to talk about them. But this is the biggest problem. In America, there is a crisis of significance. I wrote about it in the blog yesterday that came out in the weekly email. There is a crisis of significance. There's a crisis of identity. You can go Google personal significance and get millions of little articles on how to do personal significance. We have lost personal, who we are. Who am I? We've lost it because you are defined by the Judeo-Christian worldview, and the worldview that has come into America now does not give you meaning and purpose. And it is an attack of the devil. For you to move the kingdom of God forward, you have to know who you are. And you can, even if you're saved, doesn't mean you know who you are. You have to know what God says about you. If you're going to make an advance on the advance on the enemy is not a physical battle. It's not flesh and blood. It's ideas. It's a viewpoint. It's a worldview. And Christians, by and large, even if they don't say it, have substituted God's worldview for a false worldview. And we have switched it. And as we talked this morning, every worldview, we're going to talk about these. And the first one we're going to talk about is, what do other beliefs say about who I am? And the first one we're going to talk about is Buddhism in just a minute. And this is the problem. Every worldview needs to do four things. They need to have origin. Where do we come from? Meaning. Why am I here? Morality, what is right and what is wrong, and destiny and where we are going. And I am sick and tired of the world saying that Christianity is a weak worldview, that Christianity does not have the force to get you through the world. And as I won't go into all of it today, but I'm going to start laying the groundwork. Let me tell you, there is no other worldview, none. There is none. We're going to talk today about Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and humanists and atheists very quick. There is none worldview that tells you where did you come from with any meaning. Why are you here? A morality, what is right and wrong, that will produce stable societies. And where are we going? And it has affected our nation, and we're just going all over the place. And in the name of freedom, we have chaos. God gives you freedom, but He still said there are two trees here. One is my way, the life. The other one, even if it looks good, will produce something that is not me. And I will let you choose, but if you choose something that is not me, you will produce chaos around you. You can call it freedom. I give you freedom. I let you choose, but it will still produce chaos in your own life and chaos in society. And we are now a lawless society. It's the end of Romans 1. This is not what I'm talking about today. You start reading Romans 1. There's a progression. You go Google it. There's tons of great charts out there that progress. If you do this, then it leads to 2, then it leads to 3, then it leads to 4, then it leads to 5, and then it leads to lawlessness. We are at the end of this thing. After lawlessness is chaos. That's why it is so important for you and me to know what the Bible says about us. It starts with us. Last time I talked about what the Bible says about marriage. It's the only thing that produces stability in a society. You can do whatever you want. He'll let you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good like Adam and Eve does. But He says, this is the way I made you. We want to think in our own minds that we can do whatever we want without consequences. You're not omnipotent. I have a car outside. You have a car outside, or maybe a pickup, or maybe a motorcycle. Either way, you can do whatever you want to, but if you don't change the oil regularly, it's going to blow up. Amen. You and your freedom can do whatever you want to, but it has limits. It's not omnipotent. It's not self-regenerating. It's not doing whatever it wants to. It's the same with you. In our arrogance, we think we can do everything, anything, but we forget we are not omnipotent. Your body has limits. Society, which is just people, has limits. And one of the things that aggravates me the most is the lies that come down from this alternate world views that say who you are. The Bible, I'm telling you, puts you on a position that no other worldview does. Yes. That's where you find your identity. Once we buy into what God says about us, and we're going to talk about it, I'm telling you, you're going to go, why would I ever pick Buddhism? In our society right now, the number one worldview is secular or atheist. I'm going to save that for last. Or humanism. Humanism is secular. But Eastern religions are rising. Buddhism, they don't call it Buddhism in America. It's some kind, it's a philosophy. It comes through yoga. Let me tell you, just real high level, because I don't want to spend on the negative, but I want to discredit these things. Because even this week, somebody's telling me about, you know, Buddhism, and I've read it, the four ways and the noble way. That's good. But this is what Buddhism says about you. The self, that's you, is an illusion. There is no such thing as an essential self.
Wow.
Other words, you don't really matter.
Yes.
How depressing.
Yes.
Turn to the person on your left and say, yeah, you know, I don't even know who you are. You know, you're nothing there. Hear what Joseph goes. I don't tell that to Doreen. Hinduism. Nobody in America believes in Hinduism, but it's permeating all of the thoughts, and the devil's given it new names.
Yeah.
Yoga does have some good exercises, but if you stay in yoga long enough, you start picking up the philosophy behind it. Yoga says this, and this is from Ravi Zacharias, who's a great apologist. Yourself, say that's me. That's complex language in here, but hang in here. Yourself transmigrates. That means it morphs. This is talking about after death. Into a different form. Be it animal, going down the wheel, or going up into a superior caste. Yourself gets reduced to a nothingness and then migrates into the will of the karma. Karma is just some ethereal thing out there. There is no real difference, here you go, in kind between a mosquito and a human being.
Wow.
That's even more depressing than the other one.
That's worse.
Wow. It's unreal.
People are buying into things because it seems hip. Because it seems good. Let me tell you, they're ignorant and they're buying marketing one-liners and they're not seeing where these demonic worldviews come from. The devil doesn't care if you believe in Buddhism, Hinduism, chairism. I'm a chair. I'm being one with a chair up here. Whatever, you make it up. Islam, humanism. He doesn't care as long as you don't find out who you are and what Jesus said you are, because that's the only thing he's scared of. And all these other philosophies reduce you to something that's just a little ethereal, or be one with a tree or something, and you do no damage to him, and his kingdom keeps going forth. But when you rise up, and we're going to talk about it, but when you rise up to three things and realize who God made you, he goes, uh-oh, somebody's going to lose. And if they keep on this path, it's going to be him. Next one, Islam. You hear a lot about it this day and age. Islam does believe in one God, like we do, but you cannot know him personally. Islam does not pronounce any great victories over your life. Islam does not have a plan and purpose for your life, and you never know if you're going to their equivalent of a heaven. And you live in constant fear of him. It is not a great worldview. Now, what's real common in America is it comes with different names. Humanist means this is what I believe in, me and you. We're the sum total of everything. We define the beginning and the end and what we can do and what we can't do. That's what it means by humanism. It's the sum total of me. Some people call it secularism. That means secular, there is no God. It's the same thing. Now, some people, very small percentage. The percentages are somewhere around 3 to 4%, even though they make a lot of noise, is atheism. This is what they believe. And this is what you hear in the public schools, and this is what you hear in classrooms, et cetera, et cetera. We are the random process of time, describing evolution, plus matter, plus chance. We just happen to be here. And this happened with no prevision in mind. Listen, if I didn't believe there was a God and I was truly a secularist and evolutionist, listen, this would be my philosophy. Eat, drink, and be merry, for there's nothing else except pleasure, flesh, hedonism. There's no God to be accountable to. He has no plan for me. No wonder people are committing suicide at record rates. No wonder people are depressed at record rates. It's through God. When you meet God face to face, he imparts into you a vision and a hope for a future. And you go, my goodness, this is something to live for. And as I plant seeds here, it reverberates through the generations. And I get, you know, accrued interest in heaven on it. And I get to look at down and see what it is. And as Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, eternity is written in the hearts of men. And it gives me a reason beyond myself. This next quote's long, but this sums up evolution, and I want to read it. Have any of you that are into this stuff ever heard of Stephen Jay Gould? Popular scientist. He's a Harvard scholar. This sums up their worldview of your origin. He was asked, where did you come from? We are here. Because one odd group of fishes. This is a Harvard PhD.
Unbelievable.
Had a peculiar fin anatomy that could transform into legs for terrestrial creatures. And they say it takes faith to believe in an intelligent designer and a super god. What would it take to take a fish with peculiar fin to grow legs? That jump requires more faith than believing that there is somebody smarter than me.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it takes more faith to be an atheist than to believe fins turned into legs.
Yes, that's unbelievable.
But the guy said it. The Bible says, as you go down the path of Romans 1, you become more and more and more deceived. And this sums it up. This is where we are as a man. Thinking they are wise, they have become fools. Do not be intimidated by PhDs in talk. Let's just read on. Because comets struck this earth and wiped out dinosaurs. That's a big jump. Thereby giving mammals a chance not otherwise available to us. So in a real sense, thank your lucky stars. Now this is a quote. Because the earth never froze entirely during an ice age, because a small and tenuous species arising in Africa 250,250 years ago has managed so far by hook or by crook to survive. We may yearn for an higher answer, but there is no such thing. This explanation, though superficially troubling, if not actually terrifying, is liberating and exhilarating. We cannot read the meaning of life passively in the facts of nature. We must construct these answers ourselves from our own wisdom and ethical sense. There is no other way. How many of you can say, how depressing? You're going to come out of here encouraged because you've been to an atheist seminar. I love Malcolm Muggeridge. If you want some great reading, read his stuff. That sums it up. We have educated ourselves into imbecility. I heard recently, I don't have it on a PowerPoint, but I heard recently Richard Dawkins. How many of you ever heard of Richard Dawkins? Richard Dawkins is probably the foremost spokesman for atheism in this country. And Ray Comfort. Have you ever heard of Ray Comfort? He's a great evangelist. He interviewed him. This was on tape. Remember this. We have educated ourselves into imbecility. He backed him in the corner. Well, it came from Finns or whatever he said. They don't really know. And then Ray Comfort kept, well, where did the Finns come from? Well, they were attached to the fish. Well, where did the fish come from? They came from, you know, the whole evolution deal. Well, where did it all come from? He goes, do you think, how can you make something out of nothing? He goes, well, I got an answer for that. He goes, what? Aliens created the first particles. The foremost speaker for atheism. Well, you know what the next question is. Where did the aliens come from? This is not a no-brainer. Listen, it's just easier to believe maybe there's a creature bigger than us that created this whole thing and we just can't understand it. It takes more faith to believe that aliens came here, planted a rock, and that rock somehow or another came into a fish and went into a fin. Do not be intimidated by these biology books. There is not one single proof for evolution. Have you seen those little charts of we went from this fish all the way up to this gorilla and then there's us? There's nothing there. Have you ever heard the term the missing link? The missing link is what's between every one of those pictures. Yes. Amen. Wow. What is the Bible? This is the good part. Say who I am. We're going to talk about three things. First of all, and this is good, you were created. You are not evolved. Do not be intimidated by people. Say, well, you're just an intellectual idiot if you believe in creation. No, you're an intellectual idiot if you believe it came from a rock. It is easier to prove creation than it is evolution. All right. Here's a pen. I carry it in my pocket all the time. Got four parts here. You know, it's a typical pen. We're going to throw them in here. Who wants to be a volunteer? All right, come up. Or I can come back there, Grace. This is what you need to do. It's going to make a lot of noise. Don't do a lot. But you just shake that every once in a while until all those four pieces come together into a pen. The ink has to go inside the barrel, then you have to screw on the top, and then put it in. So maybe by the end of this meeting, those four little things will be put together. You'll know where I'm going with this, don't you? Psalms 8, verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, what is man? Here's your answer, that is mindful of him. I don't have the verse up here. The Son of Man, that you care for him. That's how it's different than Islam. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. This is why I get so wound up. Demonic viewpoints that are everywhere. I don't care if you call them secularism, humanism, smartism, has robbed you. Have you is that together yet? Okay, shake it some more. It'll come together. Just give it enough time. Just keep doing it. It'll come together soon. You don't have to do it all the time, but just enough time. There's only four parts. Surely you can get those four parts in there.
In a million years?
Do you think you could do it in a million years, Grace? Do you think in a million years you could get those four parts together?
If an alien comes in.
Touché. Francis Collins, who's the guy that came up with the DNA sequencer, brilliant man. When he was showing off the DNA molecule when they first discovered it, he had a picture of the DNA molecule on one side, stained glass on the other side. He said, "See that stained glass? Do you think that stained glass, the stained glass of a brilliant cathedral, do you think that stained glass came together by accident? The colors and the lead and the putting the pieces together." He goes, "No, it was created." He said, "How many bits?" I don't remember now. Thousands of pieces of stained glass. This was in the 80s. And he said, "Your DNA has 3.1 billion bits in it." He was a Christian. This is what he did when he introduced it. He says, "That stained glass could have never come together." And then he sang a worship song at a scientific event.
Hallelujah.
We have educated ourselves into imbecility. Why? Because we want to believe in an alternate worldview, because if there's an alternate worldview, that means there's no God we have to be accountable to.
Yes.
That's why the stupidity of a half of what we believe, most of us do it because we've been taught, but the originals believe is because, hey, shake that thing some more. Has it come together yet? Have you got two pieces together yet? You don't even have two pieces together? Pass it over to Claire. I think Claire could do better. You just keep shaking it till it goes together. No, you can't put your hand in it because that implies design. That implies intelligence if you put your hand in it. If you put your hand in it, then it's no longer evolution. Just give it enough time. It'll come together. Yeah, just keep doing it. Turn it sideways. That may help. You're not just created, as we said earlier here. You're not just created. Whose image are you created in? The world is robbed. If you believe in evolution, your great-grandfather was a fin in all of its glory. Whatever glory you can get from a catfish's fin, that's you.
Whoa.
Maybe it wasn't a catfish. I'm just picking one because I'm in the South. We eat catfish. I was not made. I'm not eating my grandfather. You see how warped this is? I fry catfish. I'm not frying grandpa. You got me? Time Magazine, 2006, October the 9th. We have educated ourselves into imbecility. There's a famous cover. You might have remembered it. Again, two pictures side by side. One side was a picture of a baby face. The picture on the right side was a chimpanzee. And the cover was "How We Became Human." It robs you of being created. And you look like God. That's a whole message there. No wonder people are searching for identity. No wonder people are searching for significance. It's only in the worldview of Christianity that you find out who you are. Self-help books won't work. Going to yoga sessions won't work. I mean, there may be some value that exercise-wise. What you do is you get away from yourself to the person who created you and go, "Why was I created? Because I wanted somebody to love. I wanted somebody that looked like me." That's where you find your value. That is liberating. Second thing is you're valued. How many of you want to be loved?
Amen.
We all want to.
Yes.
Atheism, humanism, lawlessness, the things that are in the land will never make you feel loved. Love has no value. It will not help you in the survival of the fittest. It's fleeting. Love is the base characteristic of God. Every one of you wants to be loved because you're created in His image and you cannot get away from it. Why do you think 99.9% of all songs on the planet are about love? Now, we've turned it in to just human love. Human love is supposed to reflect God's love, so it is important. That's why we sing about. What most of our poetry is about love. Why? Why? Why not about hate? Why not about something else? Because you're created in His image and you can't get away from it. It's what He's calling you out with. It's not force like Islam. It's love. Is that thing getting any closer? We need somebody else. Kate, you shake it up a little bit. See if it gets a little closer there. No, I want this back. Let's find somebody else. Here. All right, you come on up here, Grace.
Somebody you can trust.
Yeah, you live in my house. All right, this is a $20 bill. Just hold that. Remember, I said you're valued. Is that valuable to you? What would you give me for that $20?
Nothing.
Nothing? Well, give me back to it. Would you give me $10? You're going to give me a dollar for that $20. Who would give me more? Okay, you go sit down. This isn't working out. Who would give me more than a dollar for a $20 bill? Okay. Kate, how much would you give me for a $20 bill? What'd she say? You give me, what'd you say? Okay. Would you give me, would anybody give me $15 for this $20 bill? Yeah.
Sure.
There you go. I mean, it's valuable at a certain price, right? Would anybody give me $21 for this $20 bill?
No.
Why not? It's not that valuable, is it?
No.
Would you die today for this $20 bill?
No.
Why not?
It ain't that valuable.
I mean, that doesn't even require an answer.
Yeah. No.
Why don't you come up here since you're talking, Stan? You're on the front row.
No.
Who would die for him today? Jesus died for each one of you.
Yes.
You can sit down.
Yes.
Because you're that valuable.
Amen. Yes.
Buddha is dead.
Yes.
Probably because his belly got too big. He died of a heart attack. I don't know. That's just Craig. Just ignore that part. That was not God. That was not anointed. Allah is dead. He didn't die for anybody. He killed tens of thousands of people because they wouldn't bow their knee to Him. Why do we believe this stuff? Because we're idiots, including me. That's why we're having a brainwashing session today. We're all brainwashed. This is what we're going to be brainwashed with. Don't get offended by that. You still choose to believe it or not. Let's say we've never created anything organic as humans. We think we're at the height of technology. We think we're at the height of whatever. We've created semiconductors and some cool stuff. We never created anything organic. We've got a long ways to go. All of you are organic. God created you. Trees. We never even created a leaf. But let's say Tiffany over here can create an ant. She's got a breakthrough. I mean, we create robots that look like ants, but we can't create ants. With hearts and whatever they have in these ants. But she makes a major breakthrough and creates an ant. I mean, that would be a major breakthrough. This shows, I mean, we think we're good and we are good, but we got a long ways to go. We've not created one thing organic. So she creates an ant. She gets them to multiply, and she has a little ant farm in her house. And one of those ants goes rogue. I'm not really sure what that means. I don't know what an ant does that goes rogue. He starts stealing food from the other ants. Or cussing at the other ants and little ant talk. You're never going to forget this sermon. You might not remember anything, but you're never going to forget this sermon. Would you? You know what I'm going to ask. Become an ant. And leave your body as a human to be an ant forever so that you could communicate with this ant. Is the ant that valuable? Even though it would have changed all of science, you'd get a Nobel Prize for that one. Would you do it?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Why not? Why not? Because it's not that valuable, is it? Who's got the pen back there? All right. That's good. See if you can. You can get some help from Claire if you need to. Put those four pieces. Use your hands, put them into a pen. Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, he was God. He's like Tiffany to the ants, but even more so. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in ant likeness. I mean human likeness. We go, I never thought about it that way. It was a bigger step for him to take the form of you than for her to take the form of an ant. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You are created. And I'm not ashamed scientifically, philosophically, emotionally to say that. Do not be intimidated. When you're not created, you're only as good as whatever you were created out of. You were created. We're dust. It says in Genesis, you were created out of dirt. But there was no life till he breathed into you. And every conception, God somehow or another supernaturally breathes into that baby at conception that's just two cells at that time.
Yes, yes.
And it reproduces. Yes. And it's a lie. Listen, we're as Christians are to take care of nature. We're to guard creation. We were given dominion over it. I'm not talking about polluting the planet or anything like that. We were to take dominion over it and create it and be a guardian over it. The devil has lied to say you can be one with nature. You are not to be one with, first of all, you can't. Secondly, you're not to be one with nature. You are to rule and guard over nature. And the devil and the lies of public schools and so-called smart people have reduced you to a tree. You have reduced you to a rock. You see where all this stupidity comes? It sounds like, let's be one with nature. Because that's, we're all one divine. I love the Avatar movie. I'll watch it again. If a second series comes out, I'll watch it. But that was the message of that whole movie. Divine life is flowing through all of it. No. He breathed on you, not the trees. And then with you and your help, you breathe over nature. We're not. You see the difference there of how we've been robbed? And God is calling out to you today and saying, you are created, you are valued, and you are supernatural. The whole world is looking for the supernatural now. They are. It's everywhere. They're looking for it in rocks and trees and rivers and karma and whatever else, you know. Let me tell you, Hinduism is brutal. If we want to do the Eastern religion thing, you're going to end up with the chaos and the caste systems that's in India. I've never been to India, but I've been to Nepal. It's basically all the same thing. If you're born into the wrong caste, you have no purpose or plan because your boundary is your caste. But in Jesus Christ says, your purpose and plan is in me. And as you follow after me, I'll get you there.
Hallelujah.
And you rely on me and our partnership with you. It's the only thing that adequately defines you in a way that is satisfying what your destiny is. The destiny of what we teach in America is you're just going to die and, you know, be recycled somehow or another. You know the worms are going to eat you. There's nothing else. What a depressing thought. Let's stand.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, as we get past religion,
yes,
and we get past dead fundamentalism, and start teaching that Shawn, Joseph, can hear the voice that created him. You will never accept any false substitute. You will never accept any false. You become supernatural because your natural is communicating with a super.
Yes. Yes.
And as you keep praying over people, one day somebody's going to come out of that wheelchair.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
And it was not evolution.
No.
It was not a mutation. It was the supernatural power of God that came in that people deny. I'm telling you, we're going to end up victorious. Did y'all get that pen back together? Let's see the pen there. All right, good job. Well, sorry. So what did it take for this pen to come back together? Her hands, her brain, smarts. I mean, there's so much here. I'm not teaching on evolution, but you know the whole thing. I mean, it's just stupid. In 5 minutes, you can disarm it. That's why it's not an intellectual battle. It's a battle of the spirit. Am I going to submit to something that may be bigger than me? We'll believe in aliens, but do we believe in God? He's a form of an alien, except he wants to know you. Alien means just something I don't understand.
Yeah.
And you can be supernatural.
Hallelujah.
When you get words over people, and words of knowledge especially, that speak into their lives, and words of wisdom, people go, where'd you get that? Oh, it's just a mutation in the environment. No, God is speaking to you.
Yes, sir.
And as we move from dead religion that's judgmental in a wrong way, there's a right way, and move into showing people their destiny, I'm telling you, they'll fall for that. The ones that are, they have to bow their knee. Not everybody will bow their knee, but a large people will move towards something. Why? Because as the scripture says, as deep calls unto deep. What is that talking about? Somewhere in my spirit, I might have covered it up. I might have done so many weird things. I can't hardly hear it, but still somewhere in there, you can't get rid of it. There's a thing going, I need to return to my origin. I need to return to my creator. And that would be enough. But he's actually willing to talk to me. Wow. Do not be robbed. It is not anti-intellectual to be a Christian. There's a book out there by Frank Turk. If you want to study more, go get it. It's a big, fat book. It's a great book. I've read it. Called It Takes More Faith to Be an Atheist. I heard him speak at Morningstar at a conference and bought the book. And it's a great book. It Takes More Faith to Be an Atheist. And it's a very deep book, a lot of this kind of stuff we're talking about. When you get through the first chapter, you're going, my goodness. Aliens from outer space, Richard Dawkins, and a fin growing somehow or another into legs. Am I cutting through this? That's stupidity.
Yes,
it is.
It's just stupidity.
Yes, big times.
You're created. You're valuable. He died for you, and you're supernatural. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the gifts you have given us. I thank you that no matter how I feel, no matter what may be going on in my life, you considered me valuable enough to die. Nobody would give me $21 for the 20, but you gave your life because our life is even more important to you than your life. I cannot understand that, and I think the rest of eternity, we're going to be like that scene in Revelation. You are holy. You are holy. I don't understand. Why did you give your life for my life? Why do you consider me more valuable than you? You are holy. You are holy. I don't understand. You are holy. And we glorify you, Father. And we honor you, Father. And we say thank you for giving us meaning and purpose and identity and valuable. And I'm not going to allow that to be stolen from me. By your help, in Jesus' name, amen.